that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. Hey, in the second segment today, which will occur just about 16 minutes from now, I have a gut check question for every single person who voted for President Trump excitedly, and people who find themselves jazzed and encouraged by what the president's doing. A lot of I find deeply encouraging. I hope that he is prayerful, sincerely prayerful, as in on his knees prayerful, in asking that God's wisdom supplant his own and completely replace his own, that President Trump, Donald John Trump, diminish and Christ increase. And all of us should hope that. But in about 16 minutes, I think it's a really, really important gut check question because of the way Washington, D.C. and academia and the so-called Justice Department and the intelligence services have radicalized President Trump. You might be radicalized too. When things are done to you and they're deeply unfair, you can become radicalized. I'm not saying that's happened to him. I'm watching his cabinet nominations, and some of it with amazement, and some of it with disappointment. Pete Hegseth, I don't know, Secretary of Defense, from what I've been able to research, he served in combat, the Army National Guard. And one can become an expert on things without being in the expert class. And sometimes that's the best way to become an expert because you are not victimized by the groupthink. And with all due respect to the people who serve and fight, and remember, we're in an active war in Syria. Your country is in a hot war in Syria. We don't talk about that for whatever reason, but we are. We just had troops in contact this weekend where they killed 8 members of an Iranian-backed militia. So we're at war with Iran in Syria. What have our great experts at the Pentagon, what have they done for us? What was the last war we won decisively? When was the last time you could say in a very coherent way, this is exactly why we've gone to war. Here was the public debate. This was the president's position. Here's how we ended up declaring war through an act of the Congress of the United States. These are parameters for the war. This is what victory means. I mean, we're in a war in Syria, a hot shooting war against Iran through the proxy state of Syria. And very few people know that. So I got a gut check question. And I'm going to review some of the results of the election because it leads up to the gut check question. It truly does. One note on Kristi Noem. Shame. Shame on her. I don't trust her for 5 seconds. At all. I don't trust her to be Department of Homeland Security Secretary. Now, perhaps she's changed in the past 6 months, but I watched her sell her home state to South Korean investors, to Reid Hoffman, a Silicon Valley radical who helped bankroll many of the lawfare moves against President Trump. I watched her sell farmers out for an unbelievably cynical scam. The same people who've been telling us that carbon dioxide is a terrible poison that's killing all the children and all the seals. The same people who tell us that cows are bad for the earth when cows eat grass, that's bad for the earth when in fact cows eating grass is earth. They have been telling us carbon dioxide is a terrible, terrible poison at the same time as they've been building mechanisms to hoard carbon dioxide, to pipe it underground in pipelines, to store it to power their massive skyscraper-size food factories to make fake meat. and other fake foods, and to store it and sequester it to produce something called turbo diesel, which after they get done forcing people to buy electric cars, they'll turn around and force you to buy turbo diesel cars. I watched Kristi Noem allow these companies to walk onto the farmland of family farmers against their will to start taking pictures of the lands they hoped to steal using eminent domain. They didn't yet have permission to be there, but who's going to stop them? Well, I'm very happy to say that on my national radio program and on a podcast, we stopped them. Not me, but two state senators, two women, forced that issue before the voters. And it stopped. Those two senators wrote to me and said, your podcast and others, there were others, not me alone, Jack Posobiec and Robbie Starbuck and some other people followed on. Kristi Noem sold out her farmers. She sold out women. She had to be shamed into confronting the lie of transgenderism. So I don't trust Kristi Noem even a little bit. And if I was, she's a nominee, if I was questioning her, I'd ask her, you sold your home state to foreign investors. Why won't you sell the country to foreign investors? What's the difference, really? With that, there's a lot of things that President Trump's doing that I'm deeply, deeply happy with. So a gut check question coming up now in about 10 minutes. I'm giving you the heads up because I'd really like it if you might gather some of your friends who are both Christian, who've given their lives to the Lord Jesus and have had Trump signs. And if you know anyone who said or put up a sign that says Trump is your daddy, I really like it if they would join us in this second segment coming up today. So let's review some things. It's finally clear, and even left-wing media will admit, that President Trump and his team have absolutely vanquished or shown as bankrupt the once huge persuasive powers of the Clintons and the Bidens and the Obamas. That's gone now. President Trump's team negated it in the extreme, with prejudice, as you might say. And that is, of course, shown, and again, we're reviewing as we build up into this gut check question. For people who are very excited about President Trump being in office, it's a gut check question. So we're reviewing. We can see how well they vanquished the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens with this, the final count for the presidential election.
Overnight, CBS projected Donald Trump the winner in Arizona, giving him a complete electoral vote sweep of the seven battleground states. With a final tally of 312 electoral votes, Republicans scored their biggest White House win in 36 years. Republicans will also control the Senate with at least 52 seats, and there are two races that have not yet been called by CBS News.
It's a massive win, and President Trump is correct to call it a mandate. It's impressively put together. And I think there is still going to be a question. There should be in intelligent people's minds of, hey, where went those 10 million votes for Joe Biden? Maybe people forgot there was an election. Maybe they chose not to vote. That's quite possible. But 10 million of them? Oh, just a side note. Meanwhile, you've probably been watching in Wisconsin where the strangest thing happened. It's so strange. A few nights ago, overnight, I think it's about 50,000 ballots came in a ballot dump. Oh, no, this is after the election, but we don't have election day anymore. We have election months. And those 50,000 ballots, 90% of them broke for the Democrat candidate. A week after the election. Or no. Well, yeah, about a week after the election. Such lucky happenstance. Safe and secure. We'll get to the gut check question here about President Trump and people who are excited he won. I think it's an important one. God put it on my heart this morning. I was in a discipleship group. Wednesday mornings at 7, I'm part of a discipleship group that's usually led by my senior pastor. And he's more spiritually mature than us, hence he's the pastor and we're not. And as we were sitting down and beginning to talk, God put it on my heart. You got to ask people. You need to go on American Family Radio today and you need to ask Christians this question about President Trump. So we're working up to that. Democrats talked about what they think happened in the election.
Democrats now grappling with their stunning loss and trying to figure out what went wrong.
Had the president gotten out sooner, there may have been other candidates in the race. Kamala, I think, still would have won, but she may have been stronger having taken her case to the public sooner.
I think people never got to know Kamala Harris during the time she was in this campaign.
If the goal is to win elections on Twitter, then you should embrace movements like Defund the Police. But if the goal is to win elections in the real world, where it matters, then you have to appeal to working class people of color.
The party itself has increasingly become a smarty pants, suburban, college educated party.
I take issue sometimes with people saying, oh, the quote unquote left is the reason why this is happening. The ultimate problem is our ability to clearly and forthrightly advocate for an agenda that clearly champions the working class.
Joe Biden's decision to run for president again was a catastrophic mistake.
But we can all unite in knowing that Joe Biden would have lost and deserves a lot of blame for the situation that we're in.
Joe Biden didn't decide not to run. He made it clear. He was pushed out. Nancy Pelosi made it clear she pushed him out. Seymour Hersh, an investigative reporter from Washington, D.C., has reported that it was Barack Hussein Obama who made that final phone call to Joe, telling him, hey, we'll use the 25th Amendment to remove you from the presidency unless you step down. But Kamala Harris wasn't known? That's funny. No, that's truly funny. She's been in the public eye her whole life, but she wasn't known. As the vice president, or so we're to call her, of the United States, an unknown quantity, yes. So, are you excited? I'm excited about the Department of Government Efficiency on one basis. I think Elon Musk has proven himself to be really good at delivering efficiencies. He fired a bunch of people at Twitter, and Twitter's fine. It's not the revenue machine it used to be. It'll get back to that. He's changed revenue models. People forget that. Subscription models take a time to build. There's people like me who don't like subscription models, and I'm not going to pay for that until Elon restores the followers Twitter stole from me. But Vivek Ramaswamy, great speaker. He can deliver a speech, clever man, rhetorically, and kind of an economic con artist. Sorry. Elon Musk isn't that. Elon has built incredible value across three companies. In the case of Tesla, he leveraged taxpayer monies to do that. Then it's kind of murky as to whether he paid us back or not. I don't think he did. But maybe he did in the form of free speech. Maybe he did in terms of sticking his neck out. So he's one part of this. I'm very excited about the Department of Government Efficiencies. Going to do a gut check minute coming up in about 3 or 4 minutes. For people who are deeply excited about President Trump winning. And we're just reviewing some things. Bernie Sanders can be right sometimes. It's just that his solution is more communism for us, more houses for him.
Bottom line, if you're an average working person out there, do you really think that the Democratic Party is going to the mats, taking on powerful special interests and fighting for you? I think the overwhelming answer is no.
Well, that's clear. But communism won't do that either. We'll come back and I'll ask this question directly for people who are deeply excited about President Trump winning, really jazzed and enthused. I don't mean to tamp that down, far from it. Just mean to provide a gut check. And particularly if you could ask people around you who are just can't stop talking about what Trump's going to do and how great it is to join us, I'd really appreciate that. And not just to get listeners, because I think this is an important question. And anybody who has put up a sign that says Trump is your daddy, let's talk about that. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Thanks for listening to A Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I've been asking you to have people join us. People really, really excited that President Trump is in office. I'm excited. I want to temper this and just have everybody understand. I don't have any idea if President Trump knows the Lord. Good news is I don't have to know. God does. I do not know that President Trump's a particularly godly man. I think he's getting there. But again, I don't have to know. God does. I use the Bible as my voting guide, and that's how I voted. President Trump's policies to me are far more biblical than those of the people who run Kamala Harris. And I have yet to find a policy of Kamala that's not just a tax rate that stands up to any scrutiny in terms of God's word. She stands averse to that. So some of what President Trump is doing is exciting and interesting, and it's to be expected. He's a disruptor. But here's my question for you. Do you want President Trump? Now, think about this. Please don't respond immediately. Take a moment and mentally balance this. Be prayerful. Be honest with yourself. Do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? Be honest. I'll be honest. It'd be a lot of fun to watch President Trump walk over to the Department of Justice and take every dishonest turncoat anti-American lawyer who used the mechanisms of government power to attack him for political reasons, to take them by the ear, and as Grandpa would say, kick him in the keister out the door. Don't you come back. That would satisfy my flesh. Be honest. Be honest. And there's going to be, and Tom Harmon's made this clear, President Trump's border czar, czars, by the way, have unchecked powers. Tom Harmon is, I think, doing some great theater. And I think he's a serious man. I think he does not like the fact that cartels have been allowed to run wild in our government. Now, yes, I said in our government. Oh, you don't think the cartels are buying off city councils? Absolutely. We just had the police chief of Los Angeles, a city that just recalled a mayor for being a leftist radical who had sold out the state of California and his city. The police chief of Los Angeles has just pledged his unwavering support for illegal immigrants. He has promised to use his job as the chief law enforcement officer of Los Angeles to protect illegal immigrants, some of whom are cartel members, many of whom were brought here by cartel members. So be honest with me. What about just for 3 months, we let the army handle it? Roll the troops. Grab them and toss them over the border. Be honest with me. Would your flesh like that? We have to have our border back, or we're not a country. We have to have deportations, or we don't have a country any longer. They have been overthrowing our electoral college. That can't be allowed to continue. We must do these things. But how about not doing it with the sign that says Trump is your daddy? If you want to hamper President Trump's job and hamper any chance of anybody having their mind changed, observing Trump and going, you know what, this is actually better. Having efficient government is actually better. Having an economy that works for people is actually better. Forcing pharmaceutical companies to actually test the safety of so-called vaccines is actually better. That's going to be a lot harder when people are wagging signs in liberal areas that say Trump is your daddy. Question, is he yours? Is he your savior? I'm very excited to see President Trump announce the details to how he is going to ban the chemical and surgical mutilation of kids. He announced the details in a video. It's a 20-step plan. It's a thing of beauty. If I were a one-issue voter, and I'm not, that would have been the issue on which I voted. Are you going to continue with a massive biblical scope lie that God did not create male and female in his image, that God was confused and put people in the wrong bodies? Are you going to continue with the fully totalitarian forcing people to speak a lie, that man is a woman? Are you going to continue to allow predatory males to get into the locker rooms and showers of girls and women? Are you going to allow this to continue? President Trump has said no. On that one issue alone, I could look at that and say, my hand is forced. I have to vote for this guy. Do you want him to have unchecked powers? John Thune is going to be the Senate Majority Leader. And they had to do this vote in secret because the Senate doesn't think you matter. They don't want you involved in how they pick their leadership. The Senate's a private club, and you ain't invited, baby. You're no senator. What are you, some kind of citizen? So John Thune won the vote. John Thune, who is the corporate Republican, really, really popular with the Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C., and the CEO Roundtable, both of whom love them some illegal immigration because it lowers labor costs. They like being able to do backroom deals because they can protect their constituents' businesses. John Thune from Daniel Horowitz's website, Conservative Review, has a F rating for liberty. I believe it's 51%. Compared to John Cornyn's 54%. Question. What if we had Rick Scott instead, which we won't have? Would he be capable and willing to speak back to President Trump and to remember that the Senate is a co-equal branch of government? To say to the president, you know, sir, on this occasion, I have to disagree. I can't back this piece of legislation. We can count on John Thune doing everything he possibly can to keep the money flowing to Ukraine, to keep the border open, to keep Washington, D.C. as a separate country ruling us, not governing us. We can count on all of that. Backroom deals, shiny-shoed Republicanism. So on that hand, I am deeply not disappointed. I knew what Mitch McConnell was going to do. But my question is this. Do you want the House and Senate to be a co-equal branch? Truly in your heart. Do you want checks and balances? I think they're important for President Trump. Unchecked power is so, so seductive. For many people, it's as seductive as the forbidden fruit. Sex outside marriage, a bribe. For some people, it can seduce them into doing things they never would have done, the thrill of conquer. So where's your heart at? Yesterday, I spoke about this circumstance where a family member of mine who grew up near me, a woman who is terrified by President Trump and his elected and being elected, and I talked about this. And I happened to mention that in defense of her, I used violence against a guy. And I don't feel proud of that in the least. I was a young man. That guy deserved it. I believe that was totally righteous, given that my family member called for help and given that he was assaulting her. So I don't think it was the wrong thing to do, but I'm not here to brag about it. But I'll tell you, I know what unchecked rage is like. I know what it does to me. Have you ever been there? I have. I'll tell you about this in a second because I want to ask you, do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? Be honest. Is unchecked powers in people, is that godly? What should be the check on power? There's this phrase, a great therapist of mine, who's now a friend of mine, that Samantha gave me. Others can, you can't. Others can choose to have a human leader. This is the person who will save us. Others can do that, you can't. Because that person is just as flawed as you. I view presidents as our employees. I found myself thinking of President Trump as my leader. That's a first for me. I don't like that. His job is to lead the executive branch for us. But he's our employee. Right? I think, right? So here's why I asked this question, is you want to talk about a guy who has a reason to have some rage. There's a guy who has some reason for this. He just spent time in prison because he refused to respond to an illegitimate subpoena from an illegitimate body. And when he chose to not respond to that illegitimate subpoena, unlike Democrats who didn't respond to subpoenas that came from legitimate bodies, a subpoena from the Congress to disgraced DHS boss man Alejandro Mayorkas, that's a legitimate subpoena. He still hasn't responded. A subpoena from the illegitimate J6 committee is just that. It's an illegitimate subpoena. Steve Bannon wouldn't respond to that. So unlike Hunter Biden and anyone else, he went to prison. So I have a question. Steve Bannon seems filled with rage. Is this righteous?
You stole the 2020 election. You've mocked and ridiculed and put people in prison and broken people's lives because you said this thing was stolen. This entire phony thing is getting swept out. Biden's getting swept out. Kamala Harris is getting swept out. MSNBC is getting swept out. The Justice Department's getting swept out. The FBI is getting swept out. You people suck, okay? And now you're going to pay the price for trying to destroy this country. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to get to the bottom of where are the 600,000 votes. You manufactured them to steal this election from President Trump in 2020. And think where this country would be if we hadn't gone through the last 4 years of your madness. Okay? You don't deserve any respect. You don't deserve any empathy. And you don't deserve any pity. And if anybody gives it to you, it's Donald J. Trump, because he's got a big heart and he's a good man. A good man that you're still going to try to put in prison on the 26th of this month. This is how much you people suck. Okay? You've tried to destroy his business thing. And he came back. He came back in the greatest show of political courage, I think, in world history. Like Cincinnati's coming back from the plow. He's the American Cincinnatus, and what he has done is a profiling courage. We've had his back, but I gotta tell you, he may be empathetic, he may have a kind heart, he may be a good man, but we're not, okay? And you deserve, as Natalie Winter says, not retribution, justice, but you deserve what we call rough Roman justice, and we're prepared to give it to you.
Rough Roman justice. Are you in? Steve Bannon has a very popular podcast. It is one of the most influential in the world. He's a great speaker. He's a man with incredible intelligence. He's accomplished so much as an investor and then a backer of films. He's a guy I'd love to meet one day. I believe he is truly pursuing knowing the Lord. I really do. And I can understand being filled with a sense of rage, like Jesus was. Oh, wait. But he wasn't. Was he? Do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers for rough Roman justice? It's tempting. I want justice on this earth because I know we'll get it in heaven. But I know what I'm like when I'm in a state of rage. Have you ever been in a state of rage? When my daughter was 2 years old, we were in a tiny little pocket park just up from her home. It was our favorite little place. I used to go there and bury her in the sand and chase her and watch her run up and down the slides and show me how she could hang. We had so many great times there. And one day we were playing there, and the little boy showed up with his dad, and the little boy had a couple of balls, and so they kicked him around, and they played, and she picked up the ball and ran from him. And I was talking to this little boy's father, who seemed to be a little ill-balanced, a little bit askew, so I was keeping my eye on him. And it was time for them to leave. So that father kind of grabbed his son, gathered up the ball, then the other ball, and was walking away. And then that little boy threw my daughter one of the balls. When we come back, I'll tell you what happened, and I'll ask you to make a decision. Do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? We'll do that and get to the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Been asking you a question, people who are really excited that President Trump is in office. I'm really excited about many of the things he intends to do, the promises he's made, many that he's keeping, and I am praying and praying and praying that the president is praying and praying and praying. And I deeply hope that each morning in the White House begins with an on-their-knees prayer to the Lord and asking that the Holy Spirit guide their decision, that God's wisdom work through them rather than their own, that God help them seek justice and not revenge and not retribution, because there's a lot of people who deserve prison. Tony Fauci deserves to be in prison for the rest of his life. And I was about to share with you that I know what it's like to have I know what I'm like when I'm acting in rage. I'll pay that story off in just a second. I was talking about something that happened with my little girl. Just a second here. The DOJ has tripled down trying to put in prison a doctor named Ethan Hame from Texas. Ethan Hame was a whistleblower. He pointed out that Texas had made illegal the chemical and surgical mutilation of children. He learned that his hospital was still doing it. So he blew the whistle. And the FBI showed up at his house to put him in prison because he supposedly violated patient privacy, which he didn't. They're liars. All of them involved in this case are lying. In fact, the Department of Justice has now admitted their indictment they gave to the first grand jury included false information, but they said, oh, we didn't know that. They still want him in prison. Every person involved in that case should themselves be put in prison. Ethan Hame did not violate privacy. He didn't disclose patient names to Christopher Rufo, who broke that story. Feeling rage? Wanting President Trump to have unchecked powers? Everybody involved at the highest level of this lie of transgenderism that has mutilated children, in my judgment, pushing it, deserve prison. Through a process, a legal, dispassionate one guided through God's wisdom, not ours. Justice, right? Do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? There's a new peer-reviewed study calling for an immediate stop to a global stop to the use of the COVID shots. Why? Oh, just this little fact. people who got the COVID shots are 112,000% more likely to have brain clots, cerebral thrombomalisms. I ain't no doctor. I'm just reading the report to you. More likely to occur after getting those shots. When comparing these COVID shots to all other actual vaccines, if they are vaccines, the likelihood is 20,700% higher. Here's a for instance. After the COVID injections, 5,137 cases were reported of cerebral thromboembolisms in just 3 years. 5,137. In influenza vaccines, in the past 34 years, there have been reported 52 cases, which is bad enough given the fact that the influenza vaccines don't work for the most part. All of this was predicted. All of it. Anybody who had any understanding of what nanolipid particles do to the human body knew that this would go throughout the body. So, yeah, Tony Fauci should be in prison for the rest of his life. But Steve Bannon called for rough Roman justice. Roman justice. Man, that brings to mind an image I don't think I like. Roman justice. What image comes to mind? I know what it's like when I'm in a state of rage. A few years ago, well, a long time ago, actually, about 18 years ago, I was in that little pocket park outside of Seattle. We were blessed to live near this. It was one of my favorite places with my daughter. Anytime she goes back to Seattle, if I'm with her, she goes, let's go see our little park. Let's go see our secret beach. Let's drive by our old house. You know the drill with kids. In her case, young adult, when she took her boyfriend over there, they went and saw that secret park, the pocket park. And he took pictures and sent them to me and said, I tried to bury her in the sand. Both of us are too big. He's a sweet kid who gave his life to Christ. She was two. She'd been playing with a little boy. I noticed that this father was unbalanced, so I was kind of keeping my eye on him. He was twitchy and not as a cop would say, he wasn't right. And so he was walking away with his little boy. Little boy had two balls. He tossed one to my little girl. I was about 20 feet away. And my little girl picked up the ball and started to run with it, giggling, thinking it was still the game, ran past the father who punched her in the top of the head and dropped her. I don't remember much. I remember about three men pulling me off of him. I remember a lady across the street screaming out of her bedroom window, I've called the police. I remember looking at my hands and saying, how did all that blood get there? I remember looking at my little girl who was crying and saying, I'm okay, let me go to my daughter. I remember the police arriving. I remember saying to one of the police officers, he hit my little girl. I remember the police officers separated us and got our separate stories. I remember a police officer came and said, he doesn't want to press charges. He admits what he did. Do you want to press charges against him? I said, I want to do what's ever necessary that he never comes in within 100 feet of my daughter again or a mile. Whatever I need to do. If that means pressing charges, fine. I'll go to court. He can press them. Had those men not been there, I have no idea how that would have ended. No idea at all. Do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? We were walking home. My hands bloodied with that man's blood. My daughter said, you hit that man. Yeah, I did. A lot. I did. You were very angry. I was, and I was scared. Because he hurt me. Yes, I won't let anyone hurt you. I think we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Did you hear that in Sunday school? Yes. Yeah, I think that refers to words often. We're certainly not supposed to go around hitting people. But I think it's okay to protect children. I hope God will understand. She said, I think so. Her tone changed when we got home. Her tone changed when we got home. She went running up the deck stairs and said, Mom, it was cool. Dad hit a guy. Came to learn the guy was visiting there. There's no real threat of him coming back to my daughter. But man, I hope President Trump isn't seduced with the opportunity to have unchecked power. I hope he's on his knees. Maybe right now. Praying that God's wisdom, it will be the check. Because he won a sweeping election victory. It's impressive. He has a mandate. A mandate that God is giving him to steward, not to abuse. And yet there's a bunch of people in power who absolutely deserve a jail cell. It's going to be a tough line to walk because he'll be accused of jailing his political opponents when they've tried to do it to him. It's going to be a tough line to walk. It's going to be something that God will need to decide through President Trump and his team. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
What are we going to do without Joe Biden for that? We'll have to play his greatest hits. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three sound bites. This young woman is filled with giggles. She was the jury foreperson in one of the lawfare cases against President Trump, that one in Georgia.
Did you personally want to hear from the former president?
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I just thought that would be an awesome moment.
Seems like a solid choice to be a jury foreperson. Maybe not. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, a CNN liberal, Jamala Simmons, a former Kamala Harris communication director, has an idea for figurehead Biden.
He could resign the presidency in the next 30 days, make Kamala Harris the president of the United States.
Whoa.
He would absolve her from being able to, from having to oversee the January 6th transition, right, of her own defeat. And it would make sure that it would dominate the news at a point where Democrats have to learn drama and transparency and doing things that the public want to see is the time. This is the moment for us to change the entire perspective of how Democrats
operate. Okay, this is now...
The Democrats have to use drama. Learn to use it? Am I the only one who is tracking what appear to be about $5 million in illegal payments to people like Oprah Winfrey, who said for Kamala Harris to get on her show as an infomercial? And Oprah apparently had said, oh, no, they didn't pay me. And apparently what she meant is, no, they didn't pay me. They paid Harpo, my company. I don't handle the money. They need to learn drama? Transparency, yes, but that's transparent? Last soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. A few weeks ago, Democrat strategist Tim Miller said this about Mark Cuban.
Cuban is out there fighting this battle for younger men. The Elon Musk and this kind of bro podcast universe, you've seen the numbers. Trump is doing better among younger men of all races. And I think Cuban is out there as somebody that can be a voice to push back. It's like, you know, hey, I'm a guy's guy. I own a basketball team. I made money. I cuss, you know, and I'm happy to just give you the real truth about this. Like,
That's what young men were seeking. Bros who made money and cuss. man, I know when I think about my young friends, most of my friends are in the mid-30s who attend church with me and we pray together. I know when I talk to them, man, what kind of man do you want to be? I want to be a bro who makes money and cusses. How did they lose? Given leadership from people like Tim Miller. Wisdom, as it were. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On A Disciple's View.
Sometimes it's the simple things. Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's the really difficult things. And you have to seek the simple within. And on a personal note today, seeking the simple within. Made a decision that was horrible. It was difficult. It was hurtful. And in some ways, I believe it's probably cost me a friendship that meant the world to me. And friendships around it that meant, well, joy. It's been really hard. And as I think about that decision, and I think about the complications of it, I think about God's voice, trying really hard to protect other people, trying really hard to hear God's voice, to protect other people, I was thinking about the simple. I've been asking, do you want President Trump to have unchecked powers? And maybe God was asking me, do you want me to have unchecked powers in you? Or are there parts of your life you'd still like to lock me out of? Sometimes it's the simple things. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us the permission to speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.